Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Kansas Department of Administration's KanCare 2.0 implementation conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance during today's conference, please press star then zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's presentation, Ms. Becky Ross. Ma'am, please begin.
Thank you, Howard. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us again for the KanCare 2.0 implementation call. As a reminder, these calls are continuing on Thursdays at 9 o'clock. So if you know someone who might like to join, you can share that information with them. Also, the transcripts and recordings of the previous calls and every call hold will be posted on the KanCare website. Right now, they're on the front page, so they're fairly easy to get to. Also, like to remind everybody that open enrollment continues through April 3rd. That will allow folks to make changes to their managed care organizations if they wish to through that date. We have folks from KDADS, KDHE, our three MCOs, DXC, our eligibility or our enrollment broker and fiscal agent. We also have a representative from First Data on the line to answer your questions. But first, we want to do some updates, so I'll turn it over first to Sunflower for their update.
Hi, this is Stephanie Rasmussen with Sunflower Health Plan. Our update for today is that we did send out a provider bulletin yesterday as well as an email to all HCBS providers and indicating that the authorizations that we have in place for members that came over from Amerigroup that need to go into Authenticare have not loaded yet. We had some difficulty with the file that we sent over last week. It went through HP but wasn't able to be loaded into Authenticare. We're working very closely with Candace and Grant with First Data. We are resending a file to them today, and we expect to be able to know by Monday whether those authorizations are loaded in Authenticare. We do plan to send out a bulletin next week to let all of you know the status of that. We certainly understand the importance of having those authorizations in the Authenticare system for the use of EVV, but you should be able to see the authorizations through our secure provider portal to at least be able to confirm that we're authorizing the previous level of service approved by Amerigroup. If you have any questions about that, you're welcome to call your HCBS provider representative, and their contact information is on the bulletin. And the bulletin is on our website. We are continuing our outreach with all of our new members who transitioned from either United or Amerigroup, letting those individuals know when we will be visiting with them and doing assessments or visiting with them over the phone and doing an assessment. And we've had some very good partnership with our IDD TCM providers getting us copies of individuals' person-centered service plans. So we really appreciate that partnership. And I believe that's all we have for today.
Thank you, Stephanie. Now we'll turn it over to United for their update.
Hi, thank you. This is Jeff Stafford with United Healthcare. For our update today, I would mention that we now do have all of the transition of care and authorizations loaded. I think previously we had mentioned that we were very close and that we had loaded a few of them twice, and I think we're in very good shape now with all of that. So I don't expect any problems there, but certainly let us know if any do come up. We were notified of a issue earlier in the week with some national vendors that were configured differently for United Healthcare than they had been for Amerigroup, and so they had indicated they weren't sure if those claims could be processed correctly to some members. We've gotten on that, and we've talked to the national leadership of those organizations, and they are straight now, and they know that they can process any of those orders for insulin supplies and things like that without delay, and are doing so today. I think there are minor things like that that come up, and we're trying to wrangle them pretty quickly, and we're in pretty good shape.
Thanks, Jeff. And finally, we'll turn to Aetna for their update.
Hello, this is Keith Wisdom with Aetna. So from a previous call, there had been a request for a what's new section where provider notices and bulletins could be found in a single place. And on our provider tab of our website, there has been added a section called what's new/provider bulletin. So there's only one provider newsletter right there right now, but for future notices and announcements, that's where it can be found. On the home and community-based services front, we had talked about the provider load and the authorization load process last week and the timeline, and that successfully completed. So we have those providers loaded, both in and out of network, and we have the authorizations from Amerigroup also loaded and can be viewed in EVV. There were just a handful of providers that were not successfully loaded because there were missing information or additional things we needed. Those individual providers have already been contacted, and we welcome them getting back in touch with us so we can finish that. Again, a very, very small number, and they already know who they are. So success on the authorization front and the load into the Authenticare system. On the claims payment front, that's moving forward successfully as well, with well over 10,000 claims having been paid, and the latest claims run that payments will be issued tomorrow is for more than $1 million, and in prior claims payment cycles, there's more than $500,000 paid. So providers should be, and I've seen the list of providers who've received payments from some of those earlier check runs, and it ran through many different categories of providers. So should be on a broad basis seeing payments on that front. Obviously, with the Authenticare and the EVV system, those authorizations just being loaded this week, those claims are just starting to. We received our first claims file from First Data through that system yesterday. So those claims will start to process over the coming days. So all good news on that front. We did identify a setup issue with our vision benefit that the communication was not accurate about our benefit, the base benefit plus the value add. So our base benefit is similar to all the other MCOs with a pair of glasses with lenses each year and a optometry visit. And then we have a value-added benefit of additional $50 of enhancements to the frame and/or lenses. We're drafting a communication that will work with the Optometry Association and with our vendor SkyGen to get out to the providers to clarify that. But certainly, we're going to get that cleared up as soon as possible so that beneficiaries can get exactly what we want. The SkyGen system is set up to handle what the correct benefit. We're just trying. They can process that. We just need to get the correct communication out so that process can start. And we're working with KDHE as well, and we think all those communications should be out today and tomorrow. I believe that's all the updates for today, and so I'll turn it back over to the host. Oh, there's also there's an update. And Joe Eberwine, do you want to mention there's a frequently asked questions document that we're working with to update? Can you let everyone know where that'll be posted and the content there, Joe?
Yeah, so as Keith outlined, we have a what's new / new bulletin link on our provider tab. We just received some new revisions for our bulletin that we want to get out with some frequently asked questions. So we just received those edits this morning. We're getting with the team to get those revisions done. We'll get it back over to KDHE for approval, and then it'll be able to be posted within 24 hours.
Okay, thanks, Aetna. And First Data, do you have any updates for us?
Yes, good morning, everyone. This is Candace Cobb with First Data. I wanted to let you all know that we have been meeting with Aetna since late November, at least twice weekly, and we continue those meetings. So do let us know through the help desk with me on copy if you are having issues as a provider. A large file from Aetna came on Monday the 21st, so providers should have been able to view that on Tuesday morning. With the remainder of the authorizations to be sent to us, I believe, by Friday, hopefully by Thursday, so you'll see those on Friday. If not, you'll see those over the weekend. We are going to run any authorizations that have come in since last weekend. We will be running the FMS file where we auto-create claims for providers. That will run this weekend, as well as the personal emergency response rental claims file. So those two files with the auto creations will run this weekend for all authorizations that we have from any of the three MCOs. DXE and First Data have researched a very small list of providers not yet in the Aetna system that Keith identified that issue in his report. I'm viewing both authorizations and claims for providers in AuthentiCare. As Stephanie mentioned, we have worked with Sunflower, and when that file came in yesterday, I'll double-check. We should have that file in AuthentiCare this morning, so the authorization should be seen there if it met the DXE timeline deadline last evening. If not, we'll see those on Friday. Providers can contact our help desk, as always, at authenticare.support@firstdata.com and put me on copy for that email if you would. They will need examples of either client names or authorization numbers or something that we can research. So if you're contacting us, please give us some information. And as always, you can reach me at candace.cobb@firstdata.com. Thanks, Becky.
Thanks, Candace. Howard, I think
you're
ready to open up the line for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, simply press the pound key. Again, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. We have a question or comment from the line of Shannon Uhling. Your line is open.
Shannon, are you on mute?
I don't know how I ended the queue. I did not submit a question.
Okay. I'll release you to it from the queue, please. Oh. Okay. Our next question or comment comes from the line of Shirley Gamble. Your line is open.
Good morning. This question is for Edna. And at a previous call, you had Stacy Barron from Lincoln OBGYN ask a question regarding OB notification process, and you were going to get with her individually off the call, but there's others of us that do OB that would need to have some of that information, and I wondered if you could just kind of go over that on the phone and let us know what your expectations are.
And Shirley, this was around the value-added benefit and how to get pregnant women hooked into that. Was that the,
yes,
the correct question? Yeah. Okay.
That is correct.
Yes. Hi, this is John Essling with Aetna. I met with Leslie Thiel, who's been working on our team with some of the value-added benefits, including this pregnancy benefit. And the question at the last meeting was, is this tied to claims in order for the member to get the benefit? And the answer to that is no. And so there is a process whereby the individual can receive credit by us reaching out to the individual OBGYN offices and through several different options, and I guess this has been tried already. I'm not sure with which specific offices, but simply getting confirmation of an appointment, sometimes even getting a copy of the schedule, some way that is agreeable by the OBGYN office to validate that that member was seen in the office on a given day. So the concern was that how would the member get credit because of global cap payments to OBs, and it's not dependent upon the claims. It's dependent upon us reaching out and getting information from the OB office to validate the number of visits that have occurred.
So to clarify, you would be reaching out to our offices to verify an appointment had taken place?
Yes, and I will double check that just to make sure that it's always going to be us reaching out. But my first meeting with Leslie just occurred yesterday. But I think the main thing, the main message at this point is that it's not claims-based, so that the patient who comes into an OB office is saying, where is my reward? The OB doesn't have to worry that that'll be delivered long after delivery. So my understanding from my conversation yesterday is that there will be that information, and we'll also send out a communique just to clarify the article so that it'll be available to all OBGYN providers. That is our next step, is to make that clear through a mass communication to physicians who deliver women.
And just to clarify, for the rural health clinics that do OB, we do bill on a per-visit basis. So you would have a claim coming in from our office as long as all they had was the CAN care coverage. If they had a primary, we would then bill global to the primary first. So there's really nothing that we need, but we may be getting requests to verify appointments. I just want to know what my front office is to expect.
Yeah, so by the end of next week, on our provider notice section on our website, we will have more details on the process for this value-added benefit.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question or comment comes from the line of Jackie Clifton. Your line is open.
Okay, hello. I'm going to have a question first for United Healthcare. And then I can go back on mute and let somebody else have a question if there are others. United, we've heard on all the calls this month about the duplicate and sometimes triplicate authorizations that are in Authenticare that you guys are dealing with. We've had communication with our provider rep. We've sent the names of the authorizations and let our provider rep know that these authorizations are containing between like 30 and 70 hours per day of service, which isn't possible, but they're really big, big mistakes. Authenticare, if someone clocks in, and Candace might be able to speak to the way this works, but those claims can hit against all of those authorizations. So we have a potential of over approving services, or you guys over approving services, that we as FMS providers would then pay. And we really want to get those cleared out, and so far that hasn't happened. So do we need to do something else to get you those names, or what should we do?
So all of those will be indated instead of deleted. So we don't want to keep compounding the error in Authenticare. So the easiest way to, you know, get them to no longer be effective and to stop influencing things to essentially end date them all and retire them. If you're not seeing that happen, then it's not happening the way we think it is. And yes, please, this is Jeff Stafford. I'll give you my email, and jeff_stafford@uhc.com, and send us those names and we will get on it. But you please make sure and check. You know, currently the teams have been working pretty hard. So, you know, what's there today is a lot different than what's there 2 days ago and so forth.
Okay. We would really suggest that your team look at deleting those duplicate authorizations. And you might not be able to because claims have hit against them. But we have to then combine authorizations and do a lot of work to make sure people don't go over their plan of care when you have those duplicates that you just end date. So I don't know if there's a good solution on that, but it does really cause a lot of problems.
Okay. You know,
so we'll send you the information so you can look at it.
Thank you very much.
And
I will, just to give you some information that is imperfect, but we had looked into deleting them, and that causes separate issues potentially for providers, particularly if, you know, there were claims that were already going against those. So, you know, our goal here and what we want to end up with is the solution that eliminates it without causing, you know, problems for people. So I do appreciate you, you know, you trying to work with us on that. And please do send me the information and we'll get with you and make sure that at least everyone that you know, you're working with there and that you have on your list is going to be taken care of. We believe we're, you know, at a total universe of about 300,
mm-hmm.
you know, across the system. So we want to get it cleared up.
Okay. Yeah, we will keep working, but it's just kind of, you know, one of those things that we want to make you aware of. I do have one other issue.
Thank you very much.
Becky.
This is Candace with Authenticare, First Data. Jackie, could you put me on copy for that? And Jeff, can we reach out to you from First Data to coordinate that effort? Because as Jackie said and as you said, there are issues if you delete it, an authorization that claims have touched. So what we want to do is make sure that we end-date those appropriately. And that typically in Authenticare, they'll hit against the first one for that span of the date of service and ignore the others that have come in until that authorization is used up. But as Jackie said, once it's used up, then it'll bounce to the next, is my understanding. So what we want to do is coordinate that effort, and there may be a way you can void those and not delete those, and that would retain the history. So if you could keep us on copy for that, we would appreciate it very much.
Sure, Candace, I will copy
you,
on. Yes.
Yeah,
thank
Candace,
you.
Thank you very much. That's perfect. Right, we don't want to solve one problem only to create another, so I really appreciate that collaboration. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question or comment comes from the line of Gail Herndon. Your line is open.
Yes, it's been a while since I've sat in on this group, but I'm having my bill for OCCK in Twin Valley. I'm having significant issues getting any response for prior authorization issues and payments with Amerigroup. And I cannot get any phone calls back, so I don't know what the solution is for this.
Hi, Gail. This is Shirley Norris at KDHE. The Amerigroup office is closed as of 12/31. So they have two. Yeah, so they have the one phone number to call for providers. There's a 1-800 number. It's on our Kansas. Yeah, so you call that number and they won't answer?
No, I'm getting voicemail, and I have called four different times over the last 3 weeks and gotten not one response.
Okay.
And it's telling me it's the Kansas authorization extension, but they're not returning any phone calls. And we've got one individual that we've been serving since November 1st that is a very high serve, and we're losing $8,500 a month.
Gail, could you please email me that information? My email address is Shirley, S-H-I-R-L-E-Y, Norris, N-O-R-R-I-S, at ks.gov. And I'll fire that off to their leadership and have them address it.
Yeah, because this is just getting crazy. I've got a half a dozen issues, so...
Well, that's unacceptable. They promised to have those phone lines open and to have issues addressed. So I need to know about that when anyone has that sort of issue.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a second. Let's get the line. Our next question or comment comes from the line of John Prescott. Your line is open.
Yes, this question is for Aetna. We received our clients received some correspondence with regards to some medications, and your notification or your communication indicated that their medication was not on your list. Now, you were very kind to provide them a 30-day supply, a temporary supply, but the communication indicated that that may not be the case in the future. Can you shed some light? Because we didn't have any problem with Amerigroup fulfilling those pharmacy needs, or we looked in some of the other providers where some of our other clients are using similar drugs, that wasn't a problem. So can you shed some light on and manage our expectations?
Good. This is Keith Wisdom from Aetna. Can I get your name again?
Sure, John Prescott.
And from what pharmacy?
Oh, not pharmacy. I'm with an agency.
Okay. Which agency?
Sunflower Diversified Services.
Thank you.
Bet.
I think the best thing would be for us to have somebody from our pharmacy team reach out to you. Certainly, every MCO has a unique formulary with, and each formulary has usually multiple drugs in a category. They're just not the same they're just not the same between MCOs. So. I think a discussion about the specific issues we probably would be the most productive thing to solve that. And so, if you can get your phone number, we can have somebody call you back, either from our medical team or our pharmacy team.
Okay. You want me to give that to you now, or how would you like to?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Sure. It is 620-792-1325.
792-1325. Okay, thanks.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question or comment is a follow-up from Ms. Jackie Clifton. Your line is open.
All right, thank you. This time I'll talk to Aetna about the authorizations in Authenticare. We did see a big group of authorizations loaded in Authenticare this week, so we were pleased to see that. But as we ran the list of authorizations against what previously was there, I don't think any one of them matched, so we're not quite sure if we just go with what's in there or not. And also on probably 90% of the authorizations, we do not have an FMS. We just have personal care authorization. So we don't know if the FMS maybe got added into some of the personal care. And if so, we can't actually fill that. We have to have a separate authorization. So we just wanted to let you know that. And also, we did have a call from a care coordinator this week asking for a copy of the previous Amerigroup authorization. And I thought from last week we weren't going to be doing that. Like, somehow you have to get that from the state.
So this is Keith Wisdom. The authorization should not be different than what Amerigroup authorized. So we would like to speak to you live and walk through the details of that to see if there were any issues specific to those authorizations and it didn't come over consistent with what should have been extracted from Amerigroup files. So we would like to talk to you directly about that.
They're 100%. Every single one of them is different. So I don't know if maybe, emailing with you and Candace might be something to look at also, just so you can.
Okay. Can we get your phone number?
316-260-9910.
Okay. The other thing you mentioned was we asked for the plan of care. We did not get in mass any plans of care for the members we received. So Amerigroup did not pass those to us except for a very small handful of members. And so that will be but according to the transition, we do have the information from the Authenticare file, but that's what we have, right? And so we do appreciate getting copies of the plan of care because as part of the transition of care policy, we are supposed to respect those and continue with those to the anniversary. And so you will at times get those requests from that. And I think, for us to solve, to make sure these authorizations and the specific examples you're talking about are loaded correctly, it's useful to have those as well. So that's the reason you heard that request. And Alan Schaefer, who works on that side of our business, on the clinical side, did you have something to add?
No, that's I just was going to talk about. Yeah, the reason we're asking for the plans of care is because we don't have them, and to have as much information we can about members as we make visits with them and put together an initial person-centered services plan and backup contingency plan and so forth. As much as we have, is all the better rather than starting from scratch.
Right. And I completely respect that, but I think this goes to the state that they've dropped the ball for you guys because it shouldn't be like this. We shouldn't be almost at the end of January and you not knowing the people you've got, the authorizations that they had previously. And it's very unfortunate because it's pretty much a mess. So the state really should help out here.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. Okay, we have a question in the queue, but they were unable to leave their first and last name. So if you queued up for a question, your line is open. Go ahead and speak.
This is Nita with OCCK.
And
go ahead,
last meeting, or last call on last Thursday, I spoke to Amerigroup, or sorry, Aetna, and you guys were supposed to reach out to me about what to do if authorizations were not loaded, because I had to process payroll, and they were supposed to have been loaded. I was already processing payroll a day late to accommodate for the loading, and they were not loaded. So I spent, me and my team spent an entire day trying to process to come up with information to hand key to be able to pay our clients' workers and make sure that they got paid what they should get paid. And at 4:30 in the afternoon, someone finally called me to say, oh, hey, I just wanted to reach out to make sure that the authorizations were loaded. And by that time, I'm a little irritated. And I said, no, they weren't all loaded. Some of them were loaded, but some of them were not loaded. And they said they would reach out to me yesterday. And I still haven't been reached back to, so I could give them a list of who's not loaded. Because not all of Aetna's authorizations are loaded. Payroll that normally takes me from 8:30 to noon, I spent an entire day with my team researching to make sure we could get people paid. And that was just enough information for me to hand key, not for me to process payroll. And authorizations still aren't loaded. So it's frustrating on this end.
Nita, this is Becky Ross, and we have your number, 785-827-9383, and your extension 130, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Keith.
So we apologize for the inconvenience and that the authorizations didn't match your expectation. We will be reaching back out to you, and like we discussed with the previous caller, we'll be working with you through the details of how the authorizations did not match. I can't speak to why they don't match. It concerns me whether or not the file's accurate now that we have two questions in a row, but we also need to investigate if there's any errors on our part. But we will be reaching out to you to talk through those details, because it would just be speculation to at this point as to why they don't match your expectations.
Okay. A concern is whether people is going to contact back, because you know if someone would have contacted before, at least I would have had a contact information. You know, to know that if they weren't loaded, I had some of the contact instead of, you know, us wasting an entire day of trying to run circles and make sure people got paid.
Okay. Again, I apologize. I know that Lisa Castillo from our team did leave you a message. I also understand that you were going to send us a list of the authorizations that didn't match what your expectation was. Is that correct? Is the next
step? She was supposed to call me back to give me where I needed to send it to, and she never called me back yesterday.
Okay, this is Lydia. I'm also in the network department. Lisa was out yesterday and is out sick again today. Nita, I will call you as soon as this call is over, and we'll work through your issues.
Because I have that list of everyone's authorizations that wasn't there, so I had that list ready to go.
Okay.
Of what's not there, so
as soon as we get off this call, I will call you, and I noted your number.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question or comment is a follow-up from Ms. Jackie Clifton. Your line is open.
Hi. Good morning. For Aetna, we haven't billed. We've only built one claim that was in Authenticare because we want to follow it and see what happens, because we're still not quite sure with contracting. We, on the provider portal of your website, We did a search for our agency, and we can't find it. We noticed there's no FMS service provider on your drop-down provider box, so that might be something you need to add. But we really would like to figure out how to get access to the portal so we, once we send claims through AuthentiCare, we can actually see what happens, if they get adjudicated, if they get denied, and so we can figure out your guys' process. So if you could let us know if we need to contact someone or how that would work, that would be great.
Yeah, so just for the broader people on the call, we are signing people up for the access to the provider portal, and that can be done through our regular 1-800 number that and choose the provider, you know, services line from that, and that team knows how to sign people up for the provider portal. We can contact you directly, but I wanted the broader group on the phone to know how to do that if anybody's interested. So if you want to provide us your number, we will reach out to you and help you with that.
Okay, yeah, it's 260-9910. We're 316 area code. I'm sorry, I didn't add earlier.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. I show no additional audio questions in the queue at this time.
Thank you. Any last updates from anyone? States? MCOs? First data? All right. Well, thank you all for joining us on this call. We'll have another one next week at the same time. And have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This concludes the program. You may now disconnect. Everyone, have a wonderful day.